Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual, and we have a great show on this Halloween Eve. Yes, we're going to have some fun today, but make sure it is a safe Halloween for you. We actually have four guests, because we have our usual Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not. He's actually got some really interesting subjects again this week, and I love that segment. It's in the second hour. There are 2 hours of the show. Many of you don't get both hours. Some of you get the first hour, some get the second hour. And some listen to this always on podcast at Radio MD or live at RadioMD.com. We tape it 3 to 5 p.m., and so, at least usually. And so this is the eve of Halloween, so our show is going to focus with three guests in addition to Gary Ginsberg. Gary Ginsberg's top story this week is one I'm looking forward to, is air pollution is causing Mexican kids and probably those in Beijing to be on the way to Alzheimer's disease much earlier. It does also say that inflammation is the major cause of, if you will, dementia or decline in mental function as we get older. And so we're going to have to pay more attention to that. I live in Cleveland, as does my family, if you will. My wife and I live in Cleveland. We don't have great air quality here, and that may be a risk factor for us getting less brain function as we get older. And so that's what we're going to talk about with Gary Ginsberg and what to do about it as well. You know, we don't leave you with just data out there. We tell you, and that's why we're a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest quality ever. We're going to put Gary on the spot to make sure he tells us how to do better with that and how to avoid the problem, in addition to taking longer vacations away from Cleveland into healthy air environment. Healthiest place to get air in the United States? You guessed it, it's Hawaii. Out there in the islands, it is the healthiest air quality. You say, well, what about the air coming over from China, from industrial areas in Indonesia, etc.? Well, it turns out Hawaii still wins as the best air quality in the United States, but we'll look at some other data from Gary as well. The other guest, Dr. Sandra Hong, on Halloween candy and food allergies, how to make it fun for your kids, even if they have a food allergy tonight on Halloween. At the bottom of the hour, our usual guest, that is, we normally have a guest period in this period, it's Dr. Madeline Fernstrom and her husband, authors of Don't Eat This If You're Taking That. That is, what to avoid in food based on the medications and supplements you take. Yeah, there are some specific choices of what to do and what not to do. Then we have Gary Ginsberg at 6:17, or 4:17 rather, in the second hour. 4:17 East Coast time in the second hour. And following that, another guest from Washington's Poison Center, the managing director on the American Association of Poison Control, Halloween prevention tips, how do you avoid getting poisoned? I know when I was a anesthesia attending and was on trauma duty in San Francisco, the worst day of the year was Halloween, because kids, they don't cross the street with safety and don't do everything perfectly safe. Ben, did you say something to me? Great. And don't do things perfectly safe. And that was our engineer to say that Dr. Hong is here to talk about the importance of how do you make sure your kids will have a great Halloween. Sandra Hong is in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology at the Cleveland Clinic, so she's local with me, if you will. I should tell you, our engineer Ben is in someplace around Wheaton, Illinois, just a suburb of Chicago. And the uplink is in New York City, so we have people all over the place. But Sandra Hong is with us. Sandra, thanks very much for talking to us about what to do if your child has food allergies on Halloween.
Thanks, Dr. Mike. Thanks for having me on. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Halloween. You have young children, I would guess.
I do. I have four of them. The youngest are two-year-old twin girls. So it's going to be a very busy, candy-filled night for us.
And so what do you do? Do you try and avoid chocolate for the kids or candy for the kids or sugar for the kids?
You know, luckily my children aren't really big candy lovers. So that's been really easy for me. Luckily, one or two pieces and they're done. And I'm able to hide it away and basically give it away to, you know, the local dentist that'll trade in candy for little toys. So that works out beautifully for us.
It hasn't changed over the years. When I think when I was going with my parents on trick-or-treating, it was actually we tried to get peanuts as gifts. But obviously peanuts have a high allergy component, but they tried to keep me away from chocolate and sweet and sugared gifts and then hid them so I never could find them again.
And that's after why that, you're so healthy. That
after
was
that
wonderful
first
for
night.
Them. Absolutely.
But tell me about what do you do if your child has a peanut allergy? Do people still give out peanuts on Halloween?
Oh, yeah. So Halloween and the holidays are particularly frightening times for parents with children with food allergies because the six most common foods that make up 90% of all food allergies, like milk, peanuts, nuts, wheat, soy, eggs, those are in the majority of a lot of the candies that are given out and all a lot of the baked goods on the holidays, such as this. And 1 in 13 children currently have food allergies. So that's one, that's about 2 kids in every classroom that has food allergies. So parents that have children with food allergies have to be very, very diligent. If they choose to go out, it's really important for them to make sure that they bring their epinephrine along with them. It's also extremely important for them to make sure that their kids don't nosh and eat and snack on any of the foods. I usually ask my parents to bring, you know, really good treats for them for the walks so that if they do get hungry, they're not going into the bags. And for most parents, that's a really good idea not to snack on anything until everything's examined really well when they get home. For the children, you know, I give my parents a couple different options on how to do it. You know, one is actually to go out beforehand and give the neighbors different, you know, safe treats that they'll specifically give to their child with food allergies so that they'll come home with a bag that's completely safe. The other options are that they can actually trade in at the end of the night their bag of goodies that are chock full of all those allergens that can be very, very life-threatening for them. Trade that in for a bag of safe treats or have the great pumpkin come to their home that evening and trade it out and leave them a really nice surprise, like a gift that's been wrapped specially for them. Those are nice ideas for children with food allergies.
So actually, I like that great pumpkin idea. I've never heard of that. Tell me, so the first choice is to tell me how you eliminate getting these in the first place, which is really the first choice.
So one option is to actually not go trick-or-treating, you know, to actually have a party with friends and have it a safe night. Pardon?
Go ahead. Keep going.
To have a completely safe night where you have a party with safe treats and there's no allergens whatsoever. And then the other would be to go trick-or-treating and, you know, make sure that you can go out beforehand and have neighbors. It's interesting. Last year, the Food Allergy Research and Education Organization actually came up with an idea called the Teal Pumpkin Project. And over 100,000 households actually participated in it last year. And it's where you either paint a pumpkin teal or you download a printable sign from the website. And it tells children that have food allergies or celiac or diabetes, these diseases that are kind of food driven.
Dr. Hong, we'll have to come right back and continue that right after this break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thank you.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking on this Halloween Eve with Dr. Susan Hong, Sandra Hong, H-O-N-G. She's in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. It's a lot to say in allergy and clinical immunology at the Cleveland Clinic in Strongsville. So she's part of our own Cleveland Clinic family. I should also say that there's a website that we got asked about, that is asked, where is there a website where we can find out more about this? It's called SafeFare, S-A-F-E-F-A-R-E. So SafeFare, as fair of the type of food you might eat. It's food, allergy, research, and education, but it's safefare.org takes you to the website, which really has a lot of material on it to find out about finding a restaurant, what to eat at home, etc. But it is dining out with food allergies, and you can go back to the parent site of the whole thing, and it's foodallergy.org to find out more about the whole program, foodallergy.org. So we're talking with Susan Hong. Before we broke, we were talking about the three techniques for if your child has a food allergy, what to do. One of them was to have a party at your home or at someone's home who's a friend, etc., who just has healthy things or non-allergic things. The second one, Dr. Hong, what was that?
It would be if you were out, making sure that it was a safe night, so you can do those couple different things. You could have you can go out beforehand and give your neighbors safe treats for your children, so that when you actually went trick-or-treating later, you would have these safe foods for your child. Or you could actually have a safe bag of treats, so that when they got home from trick-or-treating, you could trade that out for them. Or the third thing I like is having a great pumpkin that visits that evening and leaves them a non-food present that's all wrapped and beautiful for them, so that it's something else that they can look forward to when it's not food related.
I love that. Does the person who is having this, I know you went to one of these food, the Great Pumpkin, or you heard about one of these Great Pumpkin parties yesterday, does the person actually get dressed up as a pumpkin and come?
I think it's all individualized. So if you felt that you could get yourself into a pumpkin costume in time, I think it would be delightful, and I think your children would absolutely love it.
It would be fun to do, too.
It would.
You also had some specific things that the site, the Food Allergy Research and Education, it's called foodallergy.com, apparently, is the website of, I'm sorry, Food Allergy, why do I keep doing it wrong? Foodallergy.org website has it, and the home of that is foodallergy.org. I did get it right, finally. And they have a specific pumpkin project on their website. But anyway, and walks and other things you can do. But anyway, tell me what some of the other things they recommend.
For
example,
nice ideas
about baked goods.
Oh, so with baked goods, you know, a lot of the holiday treats at schools are very food driven. And so it's very important to ask that they don't bring in baked goods. When you actually yourself don't have a child or you don't have food allergies yourself, it's very difficult to understand how very minute amounts. So if you actually baked some cookies with peanuts in them and then you made another batch, you cleaned up and made another batch, but you had, you know, a spatula that still had a little of it on it, that could be life-threatening for a child. So even despite your best intentions, you very well may bring in something that is, you know, tainted with something that could be very life-threatening for a child. So I do ask that families try to avoid baked goods. If they do want to bring in something baked, They could consider having it from a bakery as long as all the ingredients are on board and you know it. I ask families to make sure that their children actually have really awesome snacks for them at school so that, you know, if someone has a, you know, a treat, a party, that they have their own snacks that they can go to so that they don't feel left out while all the other kids have their things going on. Trying to be very inclusive and making sure that your children feel like they belong and that they're safe are the most important things.
Sandra, I just got an email from someone who said you should have Sandra Hong on, H-O-N-G. She's a physician in allergy and clinical immunology at the Cleveland Clinic. It says you should have Dr. Hong on more. She has a great tone of voice. So you should take that as a tremendous compliment because we don't
Thank
get many
you.
Of these those type of comments from our listeners. Of course, you can always call us, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800 for direct calls and be on the air and participate in the conversation. Or you can email me at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We're talking with Sandra Hong about how to stay safe and have a great Halloween. And one of the things I loved was that the great pumpkin visit. There's some other things. You also mentioned about, and I like the one, giving your neighbors gifts to give your kids and go early. That's pretty neat. The other one I noticed you mentioned, and is mentioned on the food allergy website, is to get non-edible gifts such as bouncy balls.
That's right. So that kind of ties into the food allergy research and education, what they'd launched last year. They had launched a teal pumpkin project. And in 1 year, last year, they had over 100,000 households that participated. And the idea behind it would be you either painted a pumpkin teal and put it on your porch, or you had a printable sign from the website. And it would tell children that had diseases that were very food relenting, where they could not eat something like diabetes or celiac or food allergies. It would let them know that it would be safe to trick-or-treat and there'd be non-food alternatives like glow bracelets or small toys, crayons or stickers. And this year I bought 300 glow bracelets for my teal painted home. So we'll be doing the teal pumpkin at my home this year.
And how did the color teal, T-E-A-L, how did the teal or that I guess it's almost a bright blue-purple combination.
Blue or green. Bluish green. Yeah. Kind of a
bluish green. But how did that get started?
It got started at one of the local organizations of the food allergy research organizations, I think in Oklahoma last year, and it just blossomed where it, you know, in 1 year took off. This will be the second year that people have hopefully participated. But it doesn't limit you to only having, so some people feel very, you know, they feel that candy is very important to give out. You can have your candy separate, but you can also have your toys that are non-edible, which will be very nice for children with food allergies.
So I want to thank Susan Hong. We're running out of time. Sandra Hong. Why do I keep saying Susan? Sandra Hong, H-O-N-G, who's in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology at the Strongsville Family Health Center, member of the Cleveland Clinic family, for taking her time on away from her kids, in fact, her young kids, on Halloween Eve to tell us what's important about avoiding food allergies and how to do it in a safe and fun way for all the kids. Thanks, Dr. Hong. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We'll be right back with another outstanding guest. Stay tuned.